Welcome to Energizing Tennessee, powered by the Tennessee Advanced Energy Business Council and First Bank. We're your number one podcast for news about Tennessee's advanced energy sector. I'm your host, Courtney Piper. When we were thinking about topics to kick off the Energizing Tennessee podcast, one we kept returning to again and again was transportation electrification. With millions of electric vehicles on the road and major automakers making pledges to build more, we knew we wanted to explore this topic for the first few episodes of the podcast. A few years ago, former Tennessee Department of Economic and Community Development Commissioner Bob Rolfe announced the state's goal of becoming the number one in the Southeast for EV manufacturing employment and investment. Since this time, you've probably seen many headlines about Ford's $5.6 billion EV investment in West Tennessee, or Volkswagen's $22 million battery engineering lab in Chattanooga. Oh, and Nissan and GM, let's not forget them. They manufacture electric vehicles in Tennessee, too. Perhaps you've seen even more EVs on Tennessee's roads or new EV charging stations pop up at your favorite supermarket. Tennessee is becoming a leader in EV manufacturing, adoption, and innovation. In light of these exciting developments, for the next few episodes, we'll be tackling the big question: how do we electrify Tennessee? We'll explore this topic from a variety of angles, such as how should we build out EV infrastructure? Why are major automotive manufacturers choosing Tennessee, and what exciting developments can we expect in the future? We hope you enjoy it. Energizing Tennessee is made possible by First Bank. Each week, we'll have a member of the First Bank team on our show to talk about their insights into Tennessee's advanced energy sector. We're back this week speaking with Jim Mosby of First Bank again. To dive right in, Jim, what is the value of the advanced energy industry in Tennessee?
Well, it's extremely meaningful and growing rapidly in Tennessee. At last count, the advanced energy sector provides over 400,000 jobs at over 20,000 businesses, which represents about $46 billion in GDP. We'd like to see that continue to grow, and as representing the financial sector, we're eager to play a role.
How does First Bank fall under the advanced energy industry?
At First Bank, the investment we are most proud of is our dedication to our time, resources, and people that are committed to improving the quality of life in the communities we serve. We are proud Tennesseans. We're based in Tennessee, headquartered in Tennessee, with most of our operations in Tennessee, and we very much promote the growth of job creation and quality of life in Tennessee. The advanced energy industry, while already extremely significant in the state, has the ability and opportunity to grow rapidly. And as providers of capital and financial services, we are eager to help that growth.
Well, what value do you think TAEBC provides to First Bank and the state?
Well, the advanced energy sector as an emerging sector represents a unique opportunity to place national and international focus on job creation in Tennessee that also helps the communities in the state not only grow, but grow in an economically and environmentally friendly manner.
Today, I'm speaking with Joe Hoagland, Vice President of Innovation and Research at the Tennessee Valley Authority. As most of our listeners know, TVA is the largest public power company in the United States, providing electricity for 153 local power companies, serving 10 million people in Tennessee and parts of six surrounding states. TVA's three mission areas are energy, environment, and economic development. Joe Hoagland is responsible for TVA's strategy on technological innovation, research, development, and implementation to improve the efficiency, reliability, and resiliency of the TVA power system. He's also leading the team that's identifying and developing technologies to help TVA achieve its goal of net zero carbon emissions by 2050. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it and the opportunity to be here.
So, Joe, our first few episodes here of the podcast focus on transportation electrification and how Tennessee can go electric. My first question is, what is TVA's role in transportation electrification, and how does the nation's largest public power provider see all of this playing out?
Let me take the second part of that question first. You know, we believe as we continue the evolution in this energy transition, it's very important that the system becomes decarbonized. And while the utility itself is a large producer of carbon emissions, there's a large chunk of emissions that come from the economy. and a significant amount, almost 30%, which comes from the transportation sector. And so we really believe that if we can help not only decarbonize our operations, but help decarbonize broader parts of the economy, we help everybody by helping reduce that carbon footprint. And so why TVA working in EVs? Well, because transportation is such a large percentage of those carbon emissions, it's a great place to start. It's also the cars are becoming electric, right? Of course, we sell electricity. So I think the two kind of marry up with one another. We also see this as an opportunity for us to sort of help shape how electric vehicles kind of go out and get deployed across the valley. And that helps us shape the energy system itself to make sure that what we do provides the most efficient energy for the future. So we actually did a study in conjunction with a lot of different folks across the valley and said exactly your question. You know, how do we approach energy electric vehicles and ask the question, you know, what are the barriers that get us here? And one of the biggest ones that came up was said everybody has range anxiety. In other words, I'm scared there's not going to be a place to charge my car. So working with the state of Tennessee, working with other partners, we've been able to come up with a program with the intent of putting a fast charger every 50 miles on the major interstates and major highways. That should be able to reduce range anxiety significantly and make consumers feel good about actually going out and purchasing the car.
Let's talk a little bit more about that partnership. It's a really exciting partnership between TVA and the State Department of Environment and Conservation. Tell us even more about that partnership and how it got started. You mentioned the results of this study and that you found range anxiety to be the top barrier to adoption. So was the motivation or the inspiration for that partnership to address range anxiety, or did you all have more in mind?
The partnership's been going on for a long time. We started, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 years ago, really trying to figure out how do we better make EVs accessible and exciting for people of the Tennessee Valley. And, you know, TVA, interesting factoid, we actually tested some of the first electric vehicles in Chattanooga back in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
So we've been kind of fiddling around with electric vehicles for a fair amount of time, never quite trying to figure out, you know, how we could really make them mainstream. Similarly, the state has been interested in that same kind of thing. And they've also been, as I think folks know, pretty focused on how do we get automotive manufacturers more located in the valley. So a few years ago, us and the state and other partners brought together a number of stakeholders and asked the question, you know, what is it that it takes to really get people interested in the valley? And we came up with a roadmap called Drive Electric Tennessee. It was a joint effort for it with everybody, but it had four things in it that really felt like we were really important. The first one was what I discussed. It was the fact that people have range anxiety, and so there needed to be chargers available for folks. The second was around policies and pricing, right? Are there good policies within the state? Do we have the right kind of pricing structures available that actually makes it easy and incentivizes consumers to use electric vehicles? The third was education. Interestingly, the survey we did, almost 70% of the folks that we surveyed had no idea about electric vehicles. And so there was a huge gap from an educational standpoint. And then the last, which is not really so much about us in the state, but it's really important, is there needed to be cars available. Right. And at the time we did the survey, you know, that was before all of the announcements that the manufacturers are making now. So there really wasn't any cars available. So we set out in partnership to begin to tackle each one of those. Right. And so the first I mentioned, you know, we're committing now between the two of us and some other programs about $40 million to get these chargers out there and available for folks. We've jointly embarked on a education campaign. There's a number of videos, a lot of sort of marketing material that's out there and available for folks. You can go to our website or the state's website to be able to find that. And then the TVA board actually took action about a year ago to change our rate schedule to make it effectively a flat energy rate for electric vehicle charging, which means then it compares really well with, you know, we think about gallons per mile for a typical car. Well, now you can think about kilowatt hours per mile for an electric vehicle. So they're very similar. They passed a policy that would allow third parties to actually resell electricity for people that use electric vehicles. Not a lot of people know, but there's laws that basically say only utilities can sell electricity, not just TVA, but across the country. And so we are, you know, we're in the process of making that much more easily and available for folks.
So, Joe, give us an example of that, of a third party selling electricity.
Well, there's providers out there now. For example, ChargePoint, I think, is a real common one that it is available. They sell privately. And so we're trying to create an environment where they could actually come in, they could set up a charging station, they could then actually sell the electricity to folks, you know, based on their equipment. Now, in the program we're working on, we're also working with all of our local power companies, and we're wanting those local power companies to work with folks like ChargePoint to be able to put the chargers in, because the local power companies actually have the electric infrastructure that has to drive these chargers.
Okay, fascinating stuff. And this next question is something that we get asked by everybody when the Tennessee Advanced Energy Business Council is talking about advanced energy, transportation, and electrification. So I want to give you all every opportunity to answer this. So here we go. Some people, and I named the list earlier, wonders, what if everyone in the Valley drove an EV tomorrow? Could TVA support that? Would you need more power plants? We get that question all the time. So Joe, the floor is yours to answer this question.
Well, yes, that's a multi-layered question, and it's a really good one. I get asked it all the time as well. And I think the short answer is yes. If magically everybody was suddenly driving an electric vehicle, that would add about 20%. And if we added 20% to our load, we need more generation in order to be able to handle that. Now, here's a few, I think, really important points in terms of why I don't think that's really a big impact to us. First of all, the evolution of electric vehicle adoption is going to be quite large and take a very long period of time, right? We've actually established a goal to get about 200,000 cars on the road by 2028. And that, while that seems like a lot, that's really not a lot of cars, across the entire Tennessee Valley. And so I get the opposite question. Well, why not more? And I said, well, the reason is because, first of all, people don't buy cars that often, right? Seven and a half years, kind of the average before people buy a car. So it takes time. As I said before, we got to have cars available. That's beginning to change. So there are now cars becoming available. However, with all of the supply chain issues and battery supply issues and so forth, that's becoming more complicated. So when you kind of layer all that stuff together, it just naturally is going to take time for those cars to come online. So that's kind of one side. The other side is, even if we all have the car at once, we're not all going to charge it at exactly the same time, right? So whether you're going to charge at home or whether you're going to go down to the, you know, new advanced gas station that has electricity, we're all going to charge at different times. So there's probably no time all of those vehicles would be charging. And the fact that we now have that it'll take time, it'll allow our local power companies, right, to adjust the grid to make sure we do have enough generation to be able to take care of all of that. So I personally think it's a great problem to have, but I do think we've got time to work it in as we go.
Absolutely. I love that. The short answer is yes.
That's right.
All right. Now, Joe, some of our biggest economic development announcements over the last, year plus have been EV related. Can you describe TVA's role with economic development and innovation? Because I think it's a big unknown for some of our listeners. You all have this very unique three-pronged mission, and the recruitment and establishment of the EV supply chain, it kind of touches all parts of TVA's mission. So can you just explain that a little bit to our listeners?
Sure. Yeah. It's sort of threefold. It's providing energy, low cost, reliable, preserving the environment, and economic development. And if you think about TVA, especially historically, we were really developed and brought to the Tennessee Valley to improve the economic condition. So economic development is just fundamental to who we are. And we've worked, over the decades to bring different industries to the Valley, working with all of our different Valley partners. In the late 90s, one of the things TVA looked at was, what are some ways to really bring in large industrial operations that would provide a lot of economic value and bring a lot of jobs to the Valley? And TVA created what was called a mega site program. And the idea was to sort of pre-develop sites and make them available all around the site for economic development. Well, the auto manufacturing industry felt like that was a really great place to be, that those kinds of sites were exactly what they needed. And over time, much of the development at those sites has been from the automotive manufacturing area, right? So everybody from, General Motors to Toyota to Volkswagen, have all chosen one of those sites. But the most recently, right, Ford developing Blue Oval City out in the eastern or western part of the state. That development of bringing all of those manufacturers here then has had all the ancillary development of all the part suppliers, right, which has helped all of that grow. And then now more recently, of course, as they, the manufacturers, move from internal combustion engines to electric vehicles, it's now bringing the manufacturer for the batteries and so forth to the Valley. And we've been helping all of our partners be able to make that happen. At the same time, it has created an environment where people, not only are they manufacturing batteries, but we're beginning to think about, what do we do with an electric car, right? How do we think about things about mobility? Which is autonomous driving. How do we better utilize the batteries, the electronics in the car? And so that's creating an environment of innovation that we've been trying to help foster, because it also helps us get more cars out there on the road and available. And, I've kind of have this personal feeling that if we can generate a lot of jobs in EV manufacturing and put a lot of people in an EV car.
That is very true. And, for our listeners, as we think about, sort of the evolution of TVA preparing mega sites, how they've been great for the automotive industry, specifically the kind of the traditional automotive industry and supply chain, as we are transitioning to this next generation of automotive innovation, what feedback have you all received from these automotive manufacturers? What do they like about TVA? What kind of feedback do you all get in that economic development process about TVA and its mission and all that sort of thing?
Well, first and foremost, right there, they are large manufacturers. They use a lot of energy. So one of the primary things and primary drivers that brought them here is our highly reliable electricity and very economical rates for operation. And that, more than anything, really drives what's bringing folks here. Beyond that, though, I think they see TVA as being a leader in the electric vehicle evolution. They see the Tennessee state of Tennessee being a leader in the electric vehicle revolution. And so it creates a great environment for them, not only to manufacture in, but from a reputational standpoint, the place that they're building the cars is very interested in making the cars part of the fabric of the community.
Absolutely. All right, Joe, as you know, the Tennessee Advanced Energy Business Council, we champion advanced energy, including transportation, as a job creation and economic development strategy. What is the value of organizations like TAABC in regards to TVA's work to electrify transportation and accelerate EV adoption?
So first of all, I think our partnership with you all is very important because you all help spread the word and you provide mechanisms to educate people, about the technologies, educate people about the companies, and help folks understand how the different parts of the community actually come together to support economic development. In order for any of these things to actually happen, you have to have the manufacturer, you have to have the companies that are developing and implementing the technologies to support all of that. And then you got to have the workforce, right, in order to be able to support that. To me, as a connector in bringing all of those pieces together, and I think that's critical, really, for success in this area.
Well, thank you, Joe. You know, we've talked a lot about EVs in this episode, but what else gets you excited about advanced energy in Tennessee, or even the TVA footprint? We can expand it.
Well, so a couple things. So one, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning, right? We are trying to decarbonize. Electric vehicles is definitely one way to do that. We have a fairly good plan laid out that allows us to get about to 80% carbon reduction, but that last 20% becomes very challenging. And so we're working on a number of efforts to really try to figure out how to reduce our own carbon footprint, which will eventually feed into how we help overall decarbonization. We're looking at alternative fuels. So for example, hydrogen. Right. When we think about electric vehicles today, you know, usually we're talking about things like passenger cars or light duty trucks. But, you know, there's a lot of heavy trucking on the road. There's, of course, airplanes, ships, and electric vehicles for them are going to be somewhat difficult because the batteries are too heavy for the amount of energy you would need to be able to move that heavy stuff. So alternative fuels like hydrogen are things that potentially could be there. We as an electricity provider can help produce the hydrogen through electrolysis, and then that can be moved into different sectors. So, you know, we're working with a lot of partners to try to figure out how we could bring that to the Valley. I don't think there's a silver bullet that's going to just solve the carbon problem. It's going to have to be a lot of things added together.
Yeah, hydrogen's another hot topic for us, so we might have to have you back on another episode of this podcast, Joe.
Ah, happy to.
Okay, Joe Hoagland, thank you very much for joining us today. You know, when we first started the Business Council, our founding board members immediately identified TVA as an asset, one of the three major assets in the state, the other being Oak Ridge National Lab and the University of Tennessee. For all the reasons that we talked about today that are illustrated by your three-pronged mission, and as Tennessee and as the country transitions into transportation electrification, what we've talked about today really puts a finer point on why the Business Council has identified TVA as an asset to our advanced energy economy. So, Joe, thank you to you and your team and everybody at TVA for helping us lead this automotive innovation.
Well, thank you, Courtney. I appreciate the opportunity. I always enjoy to be able to talk with you and certainly appreciate the partnership.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
And that's our show. Thanks for tuning into Energizing Tennessee, powered by the Tennessee Advanced Energy Business Council and First Bank. We're glad to be your number one podcast for news about Tennessee's advanced energy sector. If you like what you heard, please share it with others or leave a rating and review. To catch the latest episodes, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow TAEBC on social media or sign up for our newsletter to hear about our events or learn even more about Tennessee's growing advanced energy economy.